Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Microsoft Data Science Summit. I hope everyone is having fun so far. So a quick intro. I'm Jason Chen. I'm a program manager in the Big Data team in Microsoft Azure. The Big Data team is responsible for four Big Data services. The first one is called Azure Data Lake Store, which is a hyperscale secure petabyte store optimized for analytics workload, which I will talk in this session. There's a service called HD Insight that is our managed Hadoop service. Many people run Hive, HBase, Spark on top of HDI. Then there's another service called Azure Data Lake Analytics, ADLA. That is our query as a service, a job as a service. You give us the query, and you tell us the parallelism, the level of parallelism you want to run it. And we run it for you. You don't worry about machine or cluster. You don't see those things. You just give us the job. And also, the last service is called Azure Streaming Analytics, which does the real-time analytics for you. So let me start with a quick survey. How many of you guys here call yourself data scientists? Okay, a few. Data engineers? So it's like half split. Last question, how many of you guys have heard about Azure Data Lake? Oh, it's good. So a lot of you guys already heard about it. I think this session overall will be useful to you guys. I have an observation about data scientists and data engineers. I think they spend a lot of time working on their data, in particular moving data around, right? So my wife is a data scientist. She works on like a deep learning, SVM, decision tree. But I think she also spent a lot of time collecting data, moving data from system A to system B, do some cleaning. I figure she probably spent 30% of her time doing just that. Right, does that resonate with you guys? Yeah. So part of a reason why this ingestion, moving data around, sometimes take more time than we would like, I think it's because there are a few challenges. One, there are so many data sources out there, right? You have SQL Server, Oracle, MySQL, you have event log, IoT streaming. There are also so many data formats out there, right? CSV, CSV with header, without header, Avro, Parche, JSON. It can be also binary, right? Image file, video file, speech file. You do machine learning on those things. Another challenge is, I think there are multiple clouds out there. You have system on-prem, you have some system in Azure, you may have some system that you need to use in Amazon, right? So you move data around them, across them. And third is the tooling out there for those movements. A lot of them are not mature. A lot of them are coming out of open source. So they tend to be at a lower level. You have to read a lot of documentation to find out how to use it. So they're not necessarily easy to use, right? So this whole thing takes some time to plan, to try out, to get it right. So we thought we want to create a session to share with you some of the data ingestion scenarios, patterns, and the tools out there so that you can learn something and you can save the time for all type of ingestion, and you can spend more time on creating model, do analytics. The title of the session is called Spill Your Data to Azure Data Lake Store. So I hope by the end of the session, you will learn something, you're more than ready to spill. You want to pour your data to Azure Data Lake store, right? We want your data. So I will talk about, at a high level, big data, you know, the pipeline, the workflow, just to show you where we are. And I will spend some time talk about Azure Data Lake Store, because the store is something important. Right? I will show the scenarios, tools, how-tos about data ingestion. Then we expand a little bit. After you ingestion, where data go? What's the process? Right? I will show two examples of two patterns of data flow. Then we will do a demo. I will show you a tool called Azure Data Factory, and they have a copy wizard and make it easy to copy data. It's totally UI driven. Okay, let's start with the big picture. At a high level, think there's a lot of things to say about big data, pipeline infrastructure. But the constant theme is always you have a lot of data. You want to take advantage of those data. You want to analyze them to gain insight, to predict future, so people on the other side can take smart actions, right? So to do that, you need a few components. The first component, a very important one, is the store. You need a big data store. Hopefully it's secure, hyperscale, very optimized for analytics workload. Once you have the store, you want to ingest data to the store. Right? There are two types of ingestion. You bulk move your data to the store, or you sometimes people call it like a batch movement. Or it's event ingestion. You have IoT streaming, for example. Once data is in the store, you can hook it up with multiple analytics engines. You can cook the data, clean it up, do analytics, do machine learning. That's where the magic happens, right? Then you get those insights, and you want to communicate what you learned with people, make them discoverable, help people visualize it so they can make decisions. So for each of those components and workflow or process, Microsoft has multiple product and services for each of those components for you to choose from. So for this session, I will focus on the data lake store and how to ingest data to this store. Okay? So let me start with the store. What is it and why we think it's the best store out there? So Azure Data Lake Store is a hyperscale repository for big data analytical workloads. It has a number of characteristics that sets it apart from all the store out there, which makes us think that's the best store. Right? Doesn't have any limit, no limit to the number of files you can store, no limit to the max size of the file. You can store any data, binary, text, you store in its native format. It's a Hadoop file system. It's not a generic object store, right? So it also comes with all the benefit that a file system can offer you, for example, security. It's very optimized for analytical workloads, meaning very high I/O throughput. And lastly, it's totally enterprise grade. It has all the enterprise features, authentication, authorization, access control, very rich auditing, data encrypted in transit and at rest. We also have network isolation features. So for each of those characteristics, let me drill down a little bit so you understand them better. So when we say no limits to scale, really, there is no limits to scale. Like I said, you can store a petabyte file in it. most of the store out there today have some limits. Like I say, hey, the max file you can store is 1 TB or 5 TB, right? And if you store a lot of data, then they ask you to store them in multiple storage. I think when I was working for Bing Maps, we have so much geospatial data, then we end up using like a 50 storage account, Azure Blob storage account. But not this store. You can use one store, one account to store all your data there. Not even the ingestion egress throughput, no limits. Actually, another fact, interesting fact to mention, there's an internal version of this store. I don't know if you guys heard of it, it's called a Cosmos that is used by Microsoft. The whole Microsoft is using that store. It has extra byte of data in that store. So how we make it possible that there's no limits to the storage? Because everything you store there, for example, a file, is sliced into multiple blocks. Then we duplicate those blocks and put them in the data node in the backend storage system. And because we ever expanding and there's an almost unlimited resource in the backend storage for those data nodes, so the result is there's no limit for how much data you can store in Azure Data Lake Store. Massive throughput. How do we do that? Right. Because for each read operation, we try to parallelize it for you. Each read operation will be executed in parallel with multiple reads to different part of the data. Right. Actually, the bigger your file, the more opportunity for us to parallelize it. Now, this is important. As I said, it's a Hadoop file system. And what does that mean? Our store is web HDFS compatible. And because of that, we can talk to any Hadoop ecosystem application tools seamlessly, as long as they talk web HDFS. Right? That's why HDI uses the Azure Data Lake Store. And you can run multiple workloads on HDI using the data in the store. Once the data is in the store, you can hook it up with multiple analytics engines. The popular one is Azure Data Lake Analytics. Like I said, it's a query, it's a job as a service. You can run HDI. Once you run HDI, you can run Storm, Spark Machine Learning on top of it. The premium version of HDI also comes with R server, so you can use R scripts in the HDI and working against your data in Azure Data Lake. Now that's the thing I really like about our store. It has a lot of enterprise-grade security. Let me focus on a few things. One, it integrates with Azure Active Directory for authentication. That means you get an identity store, and you also can specify which user can access your data, which group can access your data, and which application can access your data. And the whole authentication is also based on the industry standard OAuth 2.0. It has the echo because we are POSIX, it's HDFS, that's why you have the POSIX style permission for the file. If you come from a Unix background, you know there are RWX, those are the permission you can assign to a user. Does he have read, write, execute permission? No, this is very important because it enables a lot of scenarios. I'll give you one example. Right? I have one customer. They have multiple partners working with them. So they create this folder, right? So there's a root folder. Then imagine there are 10 folders under that root folder, let's say number 1 through number 10. And they want folder number 1 only visible by partner number 1. In other words, partner number 1 cannot see any other subfolder, 2 through 10, they cannot see it. Right? You can actually quickly implement that by playing with RWX for the folder and for the root folder. So it enables a lot of the security isolation kind of scenario. The data is encrypted. Now, first of all your data is always encrypted when it's on the wire using HTTPS. Right? Then you can also choose to let your data encrypt it at the rest. You can turn it on. Now, once you turn it on, it's always on. Okay. You can either let us manage the encryption key, or you can bring your key to us. Either way, the encryption key will be stored in Azure Key Vault. Right. Have you guys heard about Azure Key Vault? It's a system that stores your key or other secrets in a secure way using HSM, a hardware security module. Which is based on industry standard, I think FIPS 140 level 2. It basically means it's a very secure system to store your encryption keys. It has network isolation capability. It's great for a scenario you want to say, I only want my enterprise or my premise to access this data store. So what you can do in this scenario is you can give a list of IP address range represent your company's network. And that way, only your company's IP address can access those data. Everyone else cannot. It has a very rich auditing for the store. Everything is logged. Every data access, read or write, is logged. Who read this file at what time. Right. Every account management is logged. Who created this user? Who changed the permission for that user? Right. So it's a very important thing for enterprise, for their visibility and for their control. It's also highly available and highly reliable. Right. How do we do that? Because every file object you give to us, we create 3 replica. Right? Every write to those to one of the replica, if you want to create a new one or update one, we make sure it's trickled down to the other 2 copy. Right? And only when all the copies gets data consistent, then we return the write call to see it's successful. When you read it, you can read against any replica. It has the read after write consistency. Okay, so let me pause here for 1 second to see if there are any questions. Okay, let me move on then. We will allocate some time in the end for people to ask questions. So now we have the store. We think it's a great store. You should move your data over. What are the tools to help you move them, move those data? If your data is on the machine you are operating, there are a number of ways you can move data. First, you can go to Azure Portal. Have you guys used Azure Data Lake before? If you go to Azure Data Lake in the portal, there is a Fire Explorer, and there is an upload button. There's a limit of 50 file at one time. So if you want to move small amount of file to the store just to play with it, that's a very convenient way. The next one is PowerShell. Right? I use it a lot. In a few lines of code, you're able to run the script to move data around. The nice thing about that is you can say slash a number of threads, so you also control the degree of parallelism. Using PowerShell. If you use Visual Studio, I imagine a lot of you guys do, it has a very unique integration with Azure Data Lake Store in the UI. You can actually drag and drop files. And you have a command line if you use Linux on Mac. Right? Actually, my advice would be use PowerShell, you know, because PowerShell is also now available for you know, Linux and Macs. Right? PowerShell is supported in a lot of places. Even Google now support PowerShell for their cloud management. So if you have data stored in other stores, right, so in Azure Blob Storage or some other places, there are a few other tools and more powerful tools for you to choose from. One of them is called ADL Copy. I have a slide later on just to talk about that. That is when your data is already in the blob storage, and you can use that one to create data movement to Azure Data Store. They're open source tool. If you install HDI, they're Scoop and DistCP, distributed copy. Those tools are already available on the system, and you can use them to copy data around to Azure Data Lake Store. And then there is Azure Data Factory. Azure Data Factory allows you to move data around, but it's more than moving data around. It allows you to create this pipeline, data movement pipeline, then allow you to orchestrate it, manage it, monitor it. So I have more information on Azure Data Factory later, and in the end, I will do a quick demo to show the copy wizard, which you can use to move data totally through UI without writing any code. All right, so just to summarize, if you want to move data to Azure Data Lake Store, what are the data sources we support? If you're in Azure SQL DB, if the data is in DW or table, or you have on-prem database, the weapon of choice is Azure Data Factory. If your data is already in Azure Blob Storage, you can use ADL Copy, or you can also use Azure Data Factory. There are SDK out there, there are REST API. You can use those things to create your own tool for moving data around. And lastly, if you have streaming data, you can use Azure Event Hub. You hook up your input into Event Hub and send them to Azure Data Store, usually connected through Azure Stream Analytics. What if you have a lot of data? Right? What if you have 100 TB? There are two other ways for you to move data around. One is you still use the same tool, but instead of taking days to copy, if you can get a dedicated circuit, it's called Azure Express Route. It's basically a dedicated circuit between your on-premise network to the Azure data center. It's totally bypassed the internet, right? So it's more reliable, more secure, and of course, you know, more bandwidth. I think you can get 1 Gbps or 10 Gbps is probably the top line at this point. So that will cut down the copy hours significantly. You can also send us the disk. You put your data in the disk, encrypt it, and ship it to our data center. And we have white glove service to move those data from your disk to the blob storage. And once it's in the blob storage, you can use ADL copy to copy them to Azure Data Lake Store. Okay, let me zoom in to a few of the typical tools people use. All right, so ADL copy, like I said, it's a command line tool. Typically, you use that to copy data already in Azure Blob Storage to Azure Data Lake. You can also copy data among two different Azure Data Lake stores. Right? You can run it either with Azure Data Lake Analytics or without. Usually people do it with Azure Data Lake Analytics because that's the one give you the degree of parallelism. Right? So if you look at a command line syntax, it's you specify the source, which is a blob. You specify the destination, which is Azure Data Lake store. You say what's the key, access key for the blob storage, and you specify the ADLA account. And you see that slash units, right? That's the one you want to play with. That tells you how many parallelism you want. And I like the slash pattern. Right? You provide the regex, you say which files, you could star.csv, which files you want to copy over. DistCP, a distributed copy. Right? This tool comes with HDI. Right? If you launch HDI, you should have that tool there already for you. It basically looks at the copy and trying to create map reduce Hadoop job and do the copy for you. I want to point out the overwrite parameter and the update parameter is useful. If you say overwrite, then even there is no file change, the data is still copied, or you can use dash update. Then only when there is a difference, the data is copied. Scoop, right, SQL to Hadoop. Again, this is a utility installed by default, already available in HDI. It's used to move database, relational database to Azure Data Lake Store. It works with any relational database as long as it has a JDBC connector. Right? So if you see the command line, it usually say, I want to connect to this JDBC colon store to this Azure Data Lake store. The nice thing about it is you can choose a database you want to copy, you can choose a table, you can also choose a column you want to copy. Okay, Azure Data Factory. Well, to me, by far, that's the most sophisticated tool like Azure has to help you move data around. So like I said, it's more than a data movement tool from A to B. Once you specify the source, the data source and the data sink, in their terminology, they call it a linked service. Once you specify that, you need to specify the data set in the source, and you want to specify the data set in the data sink. Right? Those two things, after you specify, become a pipeline. Then you can say things like, do I need to copy them once? Do I need to schedule a copy, right? A certain day of the week or a certain day of the month? You can also manage the copy. You can stop it, repeat it, pause it. You get a status all the time. It also does this copy activity. You can cascade copy activities, not just data movement. For example, you want to cook the data and move to system A. Then in system A, you cook the data again in some other format and move to system B. Those two activities, you can cascade them. You can create dependencies. You can create all those things using Azure Data Factory. Okay, so this is to show you the source and the sink, either in the cloud, on-prem, supported by Azure Data Factory today. And notice I also added AWS S3 there. That's pretty new. We created a connector so that you can move data from S3 to Azure Data Lake Store. I hope you guys use it if you use Amazon. Okay, talk a little bit about operationalized ingestion. right? So we talked about how to move data around using those tools. So if you want to do it in a repeated fashion, there are a bunch of tools. You know, Azure Data Factory already mentioned. Then there are a few things you should know when it's Uzi and Falcon. They're more in the Hadoop ecosystem. The PowerShell, if you wrote your PowerShell to move data around, there is something called the runbook. You can put your script and use runbook to create those activity, to orchestrate the running of the PowerShell. And of course, you always have the SDK and the REST API to create your own pipeline, to create your own orchestration. All right, let me summarize. All right, so there are a few tools out there. The typical ones are PowerShell, DistCP, Scoop, and Azure Data Factory is a little bit more powerful, richer. You can also use ADF API to create the pipeline or workflow at the runtime, which sometimes it's useful because sometimes you want to monitor the data source, wait until some activity event happens, then create a data movement, right? Maybe when there's a new file arrive, then that's the time you start moving the data. And when you pick the tools, there are other small things you might want to think about, right? Is it secure? Is it performant? Sometimes you want to test it out. Most time you want to test it out, right? Based on certain network, you get an estimation, how long does that take? You want to see if the data type and the source or destination, are they supported by our tools? Encoding and compression could be interesting. Like is it gzip or is it snappy, right? Sometimes it's tricky. You have a very good compression algorithm, so you save bandwidth on the network, but it takes more CPU to unzip them, right? So you want to see the trade-off, at least aware of certain things. Then the operation you can do, right? Is this ad hoc versus a scheduled thing? And of course, the cost, right? You need the read data that costs you, the bandwidth will cost you, and if you spin up the machine, if you use ADL or U for ADL copy, then be aware how many units you want to use. Okay, so in the next part, I'm going to show you some of the ingestion pattern we have seen from working with our customer. So the first pattern is what I call data migration. That is, customer already have so much data, and they want to bulk move them to Azure Data Lake Store. The data can be already in HDFS, in relational DB, or in S3, right? They're already there. They just want to move everything to the store. So the way to do that is you have a plan. You take a look what I need to move, right? Is it files, is it tables? The tricky thing is the configuration, right? Think about, can I move all the configuration from A to B? Sometimes it may not be possible. Once you have the plan, you just use the tool, like for example, Azure Data Factory, Express Route to move everything over. Then you start, the next step is you do a delta flow, that is the new data coming in, you timestamp it, right? The new data coming in, you're moving those newer data to the cloud. At the same time, you point your application and your tools to point to the new source, a new destination, which is Azure Data Lake Store, right? Then eventually you're gonna shut down the older store, and then you have the new store in the cloud, right? So let me show you, just tell you one of our customer who pretty much executed that pattern, right? So they are a global retailer, they have an online store and also physical store. they help their supplier to sell goods on their in their online store and also physical store. Then they give analytics to those suppliers to show, you know, intelligence or insights about their product. So they have a lot of data in on-prem HDFS. I think they have 300 TB they want to move over. Then after that, they have something around 50 gig per day. So the solution eventually we landed is a two-stage solution. We move data to Azure Blob Storage using AZ Copy first. AZ Copy, I didn't mention, that is another Azure tool, mostly allow you to move data from one place to Azure Blob Storage. Right. Then from Blob Storage, they move data to Azure Data Lake Store. Now, they could have used Azure Data Factory to move data from on-prem directly to Azure Data Lake Store. And I think the reason they did not use that is you would need to install a software, which is a part of Azure Data Factory, called a Data Management Gateway. Right, the Data Management Gateway is a cloud-managed kind of like edge service, right? It connects to your on-prem data, then move them to Azure Data Factory. So this company does not want to install any software on-prem. That's one reason. And the second, they don't want to open any firewall ports because it's required by the data management gateway. So we ended up using the two hop, but it works. So just to help you visualize at a high level how that end up. So they have relational DB, they have incoming data in on-prem HDFS. Then they use ADF to move it to the Data Lake Store. Once it's in the store, they clean it up. They do data analytics, they do machine learning. Then the result set, they move to Azure DW, Data Warehouse. Another thing interesting is they actually create a multiple data warehouse instance, one for each of their partner, to create isolation. So each partner only get access to their own data warehouse. Another pattern we have seen is what I call a schedule-driven flow or event-driven flow. This one is a little harder because each company has different requirements, right? So for example, you only want data to start its movement when a new file is created or when there are certain characteristics of the incoming data match a condition, then you start moving. In those cases, you need to create your custom tools, right, to monitor those data, watch for the condition, then use ADF API to dynamically create a movement flow. Sometimes they also ask you to call back when the ingestion is complete. You have to call back some external URL to notify some on-prem workflow, say something's done, then you trigger more things on-prem. So there, the tool of choice is your, you know, the SDK available out there and also ADF. So this is another customer who actually used this pattern. Right, they need to ingest about 1 TB every week. They have a different schedule for different data, like a Monday they want to move DB, Tuesday they want to move files. They have a unique requirement that after data arrived in Azure Data Lake Store, they want to call some URL to notify some workflow on-prem. And they also want us to customize the reading of the ODBC part to kick off multiple threads because on-prem there is a throttle for how much you can read. So we end up using like a 10 threads. All right, so all those things are possible, but it takes some customization to do. So this is to help you visualize eventually what a system looks like, right? So they have FTP file depository. They also have a database depository. So they create the watcher and the rules customized, wait for a certain condition to happen. If that happens, they dynamically at runtime create that data movement using Azure Data Factory. There are also other docs, right? They use a Java SDK and hook that the doc database to Azure Data Lake store. And also, what's interesting is the last part. Their partner also give them access to their data lake store and their blob storage, and they use ADF to create a schedule to move those things over to their own data lake store. Okay, so the next one is the IoT streaming. If you are in the IoT industry, this one may be familiar to you. Usually, a large amount of data, it needs to be high throughput. You need to play with your batch size, right? So if you want to increase it to increase the throughput, but if the batch size is too big, you may lose the opportunity to analyze some of them. Not opportunity, you may delay your analyzing of certain data. So there are a few popular solutions. One is you connect to Event Hub, then connect to Stream Analytics, then connect to Azure Data Lake Store. Or you can use HDI, you use Storm on HDI, and from there connect to Azure Data Lake Store. Or you can use Event Hub directly if you play with Event Process host that parameter, and that can also connect to Azure Data Lake Store. So another customer of us, they're a popular, like large manufacturer of heavy machinery. They have a lot of data. They ingest about 60 million events per day. They translate to about 80 gig per day. Right? And they use Event Hub, and then in the cloud, the next stage in the cloud is the Storm. Once the data are processed, they want to create a structure around them, and they use HDI Hive. Right. Their biggest consideration is they want something super scale because they predict their data will be 10 times more than today's data in the next 2 years. So they want to create a system that is for the long run. So again, this helps you visualize what the flow is. Right? They use Azure Event Hub, then use HDI Storm to process the data and store it in the store, and then they run Hive job to create structure. So you can do machine learning, and you can hook up HDI premium version, which has R server there, and then from there, you can use all the notebooks we support. Okay, so we talked about ingestion, so let me expand a little bit to talk about two patterns. Right? One is what we call hot path. Right? Just like the last example we saw, you have a lot of data coming in almost in real time. For that case, you can use Azure Event Hub or use Kafka. As event collection, right? It's basically an event queue, a huge distributed high-performing queue. And from there, you send events to do stream analytics. So Azure Stream Analytics is one of the good things for processing events in real time to gain insight. Spark Streaming, all those are good candidates for streaming processing. As soon as you've done that, you want to store the raw data. You don't want to throw away the raw data. You want to store the raw data in the Azure Data Lake store. Okay? And the result of the streaming analytics can be hooked up to some visualization like a Power BI. Right? and it, you know, the result, the transformed result can be, you can put them back in the data lake store. So this is a typical pattern or path for hot pass data. So the next one is the code path. It's more like a batch ingestion, right? So you have data, mostly historical data, in a time series fashion. They are raw data, right? You run some job to move them over. Then you run typically Hadoop job or ADLA job to clean up the data, right? To annotate the data, to merge it with some reference data. Basically, you want to eventually, after this process, you say, okay, this data is certified. It's kosher. That's the data I'm ready to use. Then after that point, the common question is, how do I analyze data? Right? What's the structure? What's the schema? And that's the time you add a structure into it. You add a column names. You create a schema for your data. And after that, you can start running analytics. Then when you have the result, you want a user to be able to see it, to be able to interact with it. And one typical pattern to do that is you use Spark on HD Insight, and it, you know, there's a Power BI connector for HDI Spark, and then you can use Notebook to visualize those things. Another common path for the traditional SQL guys, they just like data to be in SQL. They probably don't play with Notebook, and they just like to run their queries. And of course, you want the data to be discoverable. That's why you put the final data to data catalog. So you tag your data, who is the owner, what's the schema, what's the history, so data can be discovered. Okay. So this is another customer we have. I just want to quickly show you the pattern. So they have the combined hot pass and a cold pass. I won't get into detail, but just want to show you the typical pattern we have. Okay, so we are a little bit short on time. I want to run a quick demo. Okay, so I want to show you how do you use a wizard called a copy wizard, which is totally UI driven, to copy data from my blob storage to Azure Data Lake Store. All right, so to create a Azure Data Factory, you come here, you say, I want to go intelligence and analytics. I want to create a new data factory. Let me just give it a name, say Microsoft Data Science Summit Demo 1. Pick your Azure subscription and pick a resource group. Everything in Azure is a resource group. It just means you group your resource together so you can manage them easily. And that's it. You will create a vanilla Azure Data Factory. So I think it would take maybe 30 seconds to create. Meanwhile, let's take a look my Azure Blob Storage. Right? So I have this account, and this is the folder I have. I have a few files I used before to do analytics. I also have a folder with some data in there. So I want to move this whole thing over to my storage, to my Azure Data Lake storage. So it's still being created. Okay, actually it's done. Right. So that's what you see after the Azure Data Factory is created. Here is the copy data wizard. I will take the default name. So in the demo, I'm just going to run it once. You could schedule it if you want to. So my data source is the blob storage. I need to pick the Azure subscription I have for the storage account. That's the folder I want. Choose it. So I want to copy recursively because I have a files and also folder. So let's say copy recursive. I want to keep the data as binary. OK, now I'm done with my source. I want to pick my destination, which is Azure Data Lake Store. Pick up the subscription, and this is my account. OK, I'm able to browse my folder. So there's a folder there. Pre-created. I want to move everything to this folder in my Azure Data Lake Store. Say choose. All right, next. So in the advanced setting, that's where you tell, you instruct the ADF to say how many parallel copy you want to run. Right, that's where you slide your parallelism. So next, okay, so it will summarize everything you specified, right? And so you say finish. So I forget to authorize it. Right, so that's for me to log in to my Data Lake Store. So I'm using my Microsoft account to log into my store. And in Microsoft, everything is two-factor auth, so I need to pick the certificate. Okay, so now I authorized. I say finish. Right. So you finished describing your copy activity through that UI. Now it goes to the cloud to spin some VM, get ready to copy data for you. Right. So it would probably take maybe 30 seconds for this thing to kick off. So meanwhile, let's take a look at the Azure Data Lake Store. That's the UI for Azure Data Lake Store, if you haven't seen it. There is a nice thing here is the File Explorer. Right? So I said there's a folder here. Right? That's the folder I wanted my data to land. And remember I said, guys, you can use upload. Right? This is the upload. If you want to upload something right here, you can do that. OK, so let's take a look, see if it's ready or not. So still not ready. It still takes some time to spin to create a pipeline. I think meanwhile, we can take a look behind the scene, what kind of things, what kind of script actually this UI produce for you, right? Or if you want to do it manually, what would you need to do? So I just clicked authorize Azure Data Lake, Azure Data Factory. So if you do it manually, you need to create the input link service, which is my Azure blob storage. You need to create output, which is my Azure Data Lake Store. You need to define some data sets, and you need to define the pipeline to say, when it's gonna make a copy, things like this, you know, what's the start time of your copy, when you're gonna end this operation, do I do it once, you know, frequency, there are a bunch of things you can specify. So if you want to do it, if you want more customization, if you want to do it yourself, that's the place to go. You authorize yourself. OK, so it looks like it's deployed. And then you can monitor it to see if it's working. It says copy in progress. So I assume it's start moving data. Right, so I haven't seen it. So you can always come here to see the status of the copy. That's a nice thing about it. Right, we can refresh to see if there's anything new. Right, it's still in copy. OK, now it's here. Right, now everything is copied. Exactly everything I need to be moved from the blob storage is now here. Right, so it's that easy. It just took me less than 5 minutes to get this thing done. OK, so that's it. I think we still have, actually, we don't have. We probably still have a few minutes for Q&A. And if you have questions, I can answer now. And I'm also going to be around here for a little bit. So if you want to come here, talk, ask questions, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions.